Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day and welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things fantasy footy draft all year long. I'm Doss, and on the show this week, we'll be discussing everything we've noticed from AFL action in round 5 so far. We'll take an early look at the best options to pick up from your waiver wire, give you an alternative captain option for the upcoming round, and we'll reveal our trade of the week. I've just arrived back from the Adelaide Gold Coast game, still fairly erect following the Goats' performance, but also joining us, half chub is lifelong Gold Coast Suns fan Stevie Fizz.
Yeah, g'day Doss, g'day listeners, and the reason I'm half chub is because I'm coming in with a strample. That's right, coming in hot with a strample, and I'm strampling you fuckheads, because quite frankly, we've picked up about 8.2 billion listeners in the off-season, and they're probably sitting there going, what the fuck's a strample, Steve? What is a strample? Let me tell you what a strample is. A strample is where someone fucks up so bad, you want to go Robert Walls style and put them in a ring of blokes, just have the shit kicked out of them, a la Shane Strample from back in the days of Wallsy's coaching. And I'm strampling you blokes because you keep bringing up terms like lunch meat and no one knows what the fuck you're talking about and everyone is confused who is a new listener. Don't worry about the old listeners. They're fine. They're on board. They're salted on, you know. We got to worry about the new listeners. So new listeners, I'm looking out for you. So strample, that's what it means. These idiots get one. I'm back to right the ship. You're in good hands.
Fair enough. I think what I'm going to do as well is I'm going to be putting up an article soon, the Draft Doctor's Dictionary, with a list of former things that we have, in fact, talked about and that you guys talked about before old Dossie joined on board. And just go through that on the website so that the new listeners, new and old, can have a look at what we're bloody saying sometimes when we forget to do it. But we'll try and be better at that for sure. And Jono, you're here as well. What's going on, Jono?
G'day, listeners. Yeah, just in case we do have for all the new listeners, good thing old Tommy Nipples isn't playing because you guys wouldn't know what the hell we're talking about. And that is, in fact, Tom Nichols, former Gold Coast Suns player. But we haven't had a good old coach bashing here in a long time on the Draft Doctors. And normally when we do, they turn it around and start to perform. I mean, we've got on boards Alan Richardson, they're top of the ladder, the Saints, go Saners. But it's Luke Beveridge. What the fuck are you doing, mate? Seriously, you got Aaron Norton, one of the best intercept defenders, playing as a key forward when you've got the smallest bloke in the league playing on the tallest full forward in the league. I mean, get back in defence and play in positions. You got Libba playing full forward as well. He's the number one clearance player in the league. Hashtag Bevo out. Steve, get the t-shirts out. I'm on a mission.
Well, look, it's a good point, Jono, because we said Bucks out. We were on the Bucks out train for a while, actually. Turned it around, made the grand final. We've switched it over to Richo out. Saints are on a roll. Maybe Bevo out will get the Dogs into the grand final again.
We should hope so.
And we do have to remember, the reason Libba was playing forward, though, was the return of the great Bailey Williams, playing a lot of midfield time. So there was a great reasoning for that. You've got to put your guns in the midfield, and obviously Bailey Williams a better clearance player than Libba. Anyway, a distant relative of the Suns superstar, we also have Cam Holland-Smith on board. G'day, Cam.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I just, you know, if we're going down the coach path, I think we need to go for a Stewie Jew guts out. Like, let's just, maybe he's going to drop some kilos if we start that one.
Fair enough. Well, I think onto our round review, and we're looking at all the things we noticed from every game in round 5, except, of course, the Hawks Geelong game, which will be played tomorrow because we're recording on the Sunday night here. And we'll start with the Thursday night Collingwood Brisbane game at the Gabba. What did you notice there, Steve?
Yeah, I noticed, look, Pies are a little bit better than Brisbane. I didn't actually think there was a whole lot to take away from the match. Collingwood kind of did their thing. I think Brisbane tried to hold it off them a little bit, but they weren't able to do that. But I want to look at Collingwood, and I think it's going to be really hard. And look, I spoke about this at the start of the year. I think it's really hard for everyone to score. When you look at Collingwood's stacked midfield, it's just going to be hard for these guys to consistently put the scores on the board, especially in this sort of fantasy landscape where we've seen tackles decrease. And even in this match, Brisbane really tried to control the ball, held it off Collingwood a lot. And so if you didn't actually take marks, you weren't able to build your score because it just wasn't tackles. Collingwood only laid 40 tackles for the match. And this is a team who was laying sort of 80 a match last year. So in this one, you had Taylor Adams, who was playing pure mid, at 22 touches, scored 56 AFL fantasy points, only the 85 Supercoach points. Steel side bottom, you know, 26 touches, only had 78 fantasy points and 67 Supercoach points. These guys just didn't have the ancillary stats to build their score, so I'm quite worried. Sorry, I shouldn't say worried, but I'm just cagey about what my expectations are from Collingwood players, and indeed most of these teams with super stacked midfields. The ball just isn't... there just doesn't seem to be as many ancillary stats these days, although the marks are up, but sometimes that's in the forwards and the backs. It was Adam Treloar's superstar game, 8 marks, so he got it done. If Jared Lyons gets dropped, it is going to be Huma Kluggart season. He is looking really good. He really just needs to get a bit more pure mid time, I think. He's only played the 80% game time to this week. A lot of that was outside. He is a class unit, goal kicking midfield. I think he's obviously been touted as a fantasy superstar for a number of years since he got drafted. But I think Jared Lyons probably he's got to start to be close to be on the out of the team. He's really doing nothing on a week to week basis. Absolutely terrible. And you'd have to say Gold Coast have won that trade. They didn't get anything, but it seems like they've won that trade. So that's an interesting one. Tommy Cutts. Come on. Come on. It's got to be Tommy Cutts time, doesn't it? And that's about all I noticed.
It might have to be Tommy Cutts time, although Louis Taylor season
kick off as well. Did fucking Stacey send you a message?
So, Cam, your injury report comes out probably a Monday or maybe a Tuesday this week with the Monday games. But Harris Andrews, have you got an update on us there? He only played the 62% game time and a bit of a thigh, was it?
Yeah, I think it was a thigh, but I've got nothing on it. Sorry, Doss. I've been a little bit busy, mate. So the injury report will come out on Tuesday. Anyone else got anything?
Just a thigh. Iced up. Didn't play the last quarter.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is, I think Josh Walker's essentially an every week start. If Andrews missed, I might be a little bit cagey about starting Josh Walker.
It's actually really funny because Josh Walker, for me, like, I was watching the game and he was... Jeez, he's bad. Like he might score okay in Supercoach, but as a player, he's pretty bad.
And yet,
but when Andrews missed last year, Walker got the bump.
Hey,
when Andrews missed last year, Walker got a massive bump.
Yeah, I'm just a bit worried about their setup being a bit different this year. Like, say, if Marcus Adams was fit, I'd be pretty happy about it. But just a bit cagey.
All right, well, just on that, Cutler had 25 in the Neefle on the weekend, 25 disposals. Bastanac, 31, just a few names in case. And, of course, Louis Taylor had 26. So keep an eye out on that, and we'll continue on to Game 2. And it was a nice blowout game to kick off our Friday afternoon in the Essendon North game, Cam.
Yeah, to be honest, I hadn't been paying too much attention to North at all this year, especially after Dom Tyson was sensationally axed in the second week. So when Jono mentioned they were a fantasy black hole, it got me pretty interested to see if there are any underlying stats might tell the story. And it's revealed a couple of interesting things. One, North's effective disposal and uncontested possessions are actually in the top 5 in the league. But both of these stats can be extremely padded when teams don't have any idea of what the fuck to do when coming out of defence. They tend to get the easy kick marks and switches through the back line before booting it long to a contest and turn it over. Watching the Roos, this is exactly what's been happening, and directly explains defenders like McMillan seeing a bit of a bump in their AFL fantasy and Supercoach average. That sort of behaviour of kicking long down the line is driven by a lack of options through their midfield. No one's really presenting to them. So the second point is, you know, what's happening in their midfield? They're second last for tackles, so there's no pressure. They're getting smashed in clearances. They're actually the bottom team in the league with an average of 31. They're second lowest for inside 50s. They're 15th for contested possessions. I could go on because they're basically losing just about every stat line across the board that is to do with a solid midfield. So then you can sort of have a look at their mid and say that that's probably the primary reason for their fantasy black hole, because that, when you look even further forward, they're not getting those inside 50s, but then when they are, they're not maintaining the ball within that 50. They are dead last for tackles inside 50. Which, to me, is quite surprising, because you've got people like Jack Zeeble, who are, you know, ex-midfielders, really good pressure act player, but, you know, in a forward line, they're just not making the effort, maybe. And so you can sort of see how that midfield being the black hole is sucking the shit out of their forward and defence to create that fantasy supermassive black hole.
Yeah. Have you...
What the hell
when
was
you
that?
Watch... Sorry, I tuned out when you started talking about North for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
I think, Jono, you mentioned the other week as well about Paul Ahern and how the fans were getting pretty upset about him not playing. I think we probably saw why that was. He was pretty rancid.
Yeah, he was horrible. He was
in
horrible.
That outing. Also, just Trent Dumont. What a gun. He's the only pretty much shining light at the moment in the North squad.
You're on drugs, probably. Ben Cunnington's having like his best season,
he's killing
mate.
It. He's doing all right. He's doing all right. I just want to point out for the sort of pickups as well, from the Essendon perspective, for the game, it just did not come down back a whole heap. And when it did, it was the big men chip kicking it to each other, the hookers and the Hurleys. They had like 11 and 12 marks each there because it was just the big guys kicking to each other. And then they handball it off to the little guys for the run. But I still, I'm still pretty high on Mason Redmond, actually more so for Supercoach as a pickup. His ball use is awesome. And every time it came back there, he got the pill. So I just think really for a pickup, that's going to be awesome. There. All right, let's get on to the next game. And it was another Friday night blowout with the Weagles copping a spanking from the apparently almighty power over in Perth there, Jono.
Yeah, who would have thought when it rains in Perth, the Eagles cannot play football. So pretty hard to read on this when we saw JJK and Jack Darling and Cripps all really well down, because wet weather football is certainly a different game, so they weren't getting the marks on the lead. But Petrocelli, this kid is an absolute star. I'm not sure if he's eligible for Rising Star, but if he is, he still won't win it because he's not a Victorian. Kicked 75% of their goals, but he's an outstanding player.
Just, Jono, actually more players from interstate clubs have won the Rising Star than Victorian clubs.
Well, there you go. Maybe he's a big chance. Get on board. I don't know what he is on Sportsbet, but put your house on him. The tag finally came to Travis Boak. Had an absolute smashing start to the season. They finally locked him down. Hutchings was all over him like a glove. Didn't get the return that we would have hoped, and some people even had the big captain on him, so would have been very disappointed with that. And the Eagles midfield, they are spreading it around. So Gaff, he's going to be the standout. You think he's going to turn up every week, but we saw the likes of Yo, he's having a poor year, Redden, Sheed, excuse me. Last week, Redden went big, this week he scored poo. So it's a bit like the Collingwood midfield, as Steve said before, they're going to have their weeks. But more so, Elliot Yo, he's well down on what he was averaging last year. He's 2 marks and 2 tackles a game down on what he was last year. So if you're an owner of Elliot Yo, I'd be holding firm on him, so when the game does slow down, he might be getting those tackles back, but it's a wait and see for him. But even, hey, other end of the spectrum, look to put an offer to him.
Well, he had 7 on the weekend, Jono. I'm pretty confident in throwing out a big buy offer. Well, when I say big buy offer, I'm obviously trying to buy him at the best price I can, but I'm pretty happy buying him. When you look at some of the matches they've... Well, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that. I mean, they've played... He turned up the week before.
Like I said, it's going to be a rotating policy with that Eagles midfield.
Yeah.
Brad Shepherd. What a start to the year this is, though. Amazing stuff from Brad Shepherd. Are you guys sold on him now due to the sort of I suppose, possession in the back half sort of game style. Is Brad Shepherd now, is this real? Is Brad Shepherd going to be a 90 to 100 averaging defender in sort of both formats here?
Certainly possible.
Yeah, I still want to see more. Still want to see more.
Mm. Like, right, where were, well, I mean, pre-season, where do we have him? Like, D4? Was it D4?
I don't think I even had him ranked.
Certainly had him ranked. Anyway, it's certainly interesting. Mm. And, you know, when you look at the drop-off of some of the other guys, it's certainly possible that he'll be in there. The midfield certainly creates some pressure.
We just got to kind of shout it out. That's like some of the... His scoring is that of a massive premium at the moment. So I just thought I'd sort of point it out and see if we just keep an eye on it. If it maintains, you've got yourself a massive steal, but nothing else you can do there. So in pretty much the biggest upset of the round, this side of Adelaide defeating Gold Coast, it was Frio topping the Giants at Spotless on Saturday, Cam.
Yeah, I'd like to start by paraphrasing the great Kent Brockman on this one. I, for one, welcome our new crustacean overlords. So the Crabbiner is playing the very fantasy-friendly role that the Bud, Tom Hawkins 2018, and others have played before him. And that's the forward that runs to the wings and plays the linkman. I mean, there's probably a better name for it than that, but we'll start with that. He did this last year before he was injured. Now he's racked up just under 20 disposals a game on average. 8 marks, 2 goals, and a healthy kick-to-handball ratio. Go and have a look at his heat map, and it'll tell you this exact story. He's basically getting the majority of his possessions outside the forward 50, not inside the forward 50. He dropped a massive 126 AFL Fantasy, 121 Supercoach points this round. You've probably taken him off the waiver. I think he's 90% owned at the moment. But if he learns to kick straight, I think we're in a world, and it's a crazy world, where the Tabner could average 95 plus this year.
You said Linkman, you don't have a name of it, but there's a bloke at Adelaide called Good Personality, Tom Lynch. They call him the Connector, so maybe that's what we call it from now on.
The Connector.
Mm. Don't like it?
That's okay. I've got no... You know, let's go with Linkman.
Well, I guess when we're on our You Suck show later on in the year, you might want to rewind and have a listen, boys, and maybe get the You Rock show for Dossie, because I think he wanted to have a bit more time for Tabner in the preseason, but was denied by Steve. So maybe that's a strimple we need to bring out later on, because Matty Tabner was high on Dossie's list and you know, shut down by the draft doctors here.
Mate, you're not in the position to strimple me. I'll cut your segment out.
All right, fair
also,
enough.
Alan... Doss, how's the book going, mate? Baby Fizz, she's running out of reading material over here.
I actually have started for the listeners worried out there. I'm a bit about the deadline.
5 weeks.
5 weeks. I'm slightly concerned about that, but it'll be done. I've got some great lines coming through too. You're going to love them. All right, well, Alan Richardson, GOAT, if that's what we're going with, got the win over Melbourne to move on top of the ladder and solidify his place among the all-time coaching greats, Jono.
Well, we can thank Brett Ratten for all the coaching masterstrokes here at St Kilda, because I think even a few of the players actually did mention Brett Ratten's name in the post-game interview, so well done, Rats. No, but it looks like Melbourne hasn't practiced 6-6-6 over the, 7 or 8 months they've had to practice this, because every single game, they are just getting beaten on the defenders, running it out of the defence and scoring on them. They're just out of position. So if you were playing Melbourne, stream your forwards. I mean, we had Dean Kent kick 4. We had Membry kick 3. Billings 2. So the opposition teams just stream the ball from their defence into the forward line with ease and scoring at will. So I'd be getting all over that at the moment. The Proofs and Gorn situation still working fine. Proofs still taking a lot of that. He's playing Tom McDonald's role from last year, where he's the second forward. Tommy Mack's still taking that number one forward and just looking absolutely horrible. And I'm an owner of him in one of our leagues, and I didn't even roster him this week. He is straight to the bench, so you will not trade him for anything. And I think he's actually hit a few waiver-wise, but the Saints are on a roll and all about him.
Just with the Demons, I mean, one of the things that I noticed, they've dropped off dramatically in disposals. So last year they were somewhere in the area of top two or three teams for total disposals every game. And they had that really happy sort of chip handball mark pattern going on. This year, I think they're second last for disposals, which probably sums up their year. But more so, have you seen anything that has, I guess, led to that or is causing that?
I haven't really noticed it. I didn't realise they were that bad for possessions this year, but you would think with the 6-6-6, it opens up so there's more kick handball, kick mark space for them to maintain possession. But no, I haven't really noticed that too much throughout this year.
Yeah, I just want to know why Melbourne is so fucking bad. Like, honestly. Is it trading out their best player? Did that come back to bite them?
Jesse Gogan? Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
Mm. Well, it was funny in this game as well. I was pretty concerned for Christian Salem, actually, and even hashtag off-brand Marty Hoare. I was sort of worried about them with the return of Jordan Lewis coming into the team, and boy, oh boy, that was not founded at all. Salem, 117 and 90 super coach, and Marty Hoare, 96 and 96 super coach, 99 DT. And then Jordan Lewis was just absent and, you know, on the verge of being dropped basically. So is he someone that we're going to see playing a lot more in the twos this year, do you think?
Well, they said the only reason Jordan Lewis played is because they can't get the runners out onto the field enough, so he's basically an on-field coach to deliver a message. So he's basically going to sit there on the wing and hear the message and deliver it. So horrible role.
Not good, but good for Salem. And I guess people that picked up Hoare off the waiver wire, he looked magnificent. All right, well, the Statesman Swans continued to struggle with a bit of a loss there to Richmond on Saturday night as hashtag horse out gained serious momentum there, Steve.
Look, I'm leader of the I Hate John Longmire fan club. I think he just inherited a great situation and just chuds along doing nothing with it. But on to this match, and I think it's really interesting. We've always enjoyed playing midfielders against Richmond over the last couple of years, and I think that is pretty happy to continue because it's clear that teams want to try this Collingwood style of keepings off. Obviously Sydney didn't have the talent to execute it because there's zero coaching going on up there, and they're just relying on, I don't know, Paul Roux's hair's memories or something like that. What came out of this match for me that is most interesting, though, is I have this one question, and that is the deep forward just shot to shit? Because I'm watching guys like Buddy kick four goals, right? You got 80 in Dream Team and 77 in Supercoach. I'm watching guys like Tom McDonald, Tom Lynch, Handsome Tom, sorry. That's Handsome Tom, who plays for the Richmond, just for the new listeners, as opposed to the day walker from Adelaide, who they somehow let out. We got JJK, Justin Westhoff, Tex Walker, Ben Brown. Like, these guys are just scoring absolute pud. I know Harry McKay scored well today, but it's on the back of four goals, a hell of a lot of marks. And, you know, Dossie mentioned some of the other key forwards are the types who are getting up the ground and really pulling in around a dozen marks to actually make their score worthwhile. So, yeah, I have a big question. Is the key forward shot to shit?
Yeah, it does look like it with some of the numbers, doesn't it? I mean, I think the people that we're seeing thrive, well, the major person, you could say, is like Jordan DeGoey's numbers have been surprisingly solid so far, being that sort of medium-sized guy that just has no matchup out of the square. And someone in the future, you might say, like Cam Rayner down the line, might be that sort of player as well. Not at the moment, clearly, but it does look like these numbers are sort of not as good. I would have thought for Supercoach, it might have been okay with a lot of the just like Tom Lynch, I would have thought would have done a lot better in this game. Was he clearly just shut down in this one?
He was shut down, but even the game against Port Adelaide, he had to get six goals and he only had about 10 or 11 possessions and he just cracked a Supercoach ton.
Just cracked it.
Against Port Adelaide. So, yeah, the scoring's gone to shit for the key forwards.
like, if you're lucky enough to... like, and I know Tomahawk's probably the exception of the rule, but even he's been up and down this year. But, like, Brody Mychek happened to bob up with four as a key forward for Collingwood in a 10-goal win. But it takes that sort of performance. Like, we watched Adelaide have a really solid win over Gold Coast. The key forwards didn't do anything. Like, I'm just really concerned about, even in Supercoach, and like, I know we've got a lot of Supercoach listeners out there, you're probably saying, thank God Steve's back because he's actually talking about the format, because the other guys, they probably deserve another strengthening because they don't know what it is. But I'm really concerned about their streamability, because that's something that's been our bread and butter over the last few years, Jono.
Certainly has. I mean, remember back in the days, Johnny Butch just going ham and all he needed was four goals and 140.
The people won't believe it, but we streamed back-to-back to score over 100. I think they scored 120. Levi Casbolt and John Butcher, back-to-back weeks.
Correct.
Couldn't do that in this landscape.
No.
Is it just the one-on-one defending, like with the zones, that there's not that drop-off player getting as many marks as there was, but there's just a one-on-one contest and the fist is just coming, no clean marks? And I guess like today when I was at the Adelaide Gold Coast game, the crowd just goes wild when you get if you get on the lead, and obviously Adelaide hasn't been the greatest at delivering, but like Tex got a mark out in front, and it was the only time it happened for ages in the game. You're just waiting for a moment where you actually just get a clean possession inside 50 on the mark. Is it just these one-on-one contests, or what can be really to blame here?
Well, I mean, if scoring's 15% down across the year, I mean, that's killing it. I mean, I'm looking at fantasy football going, everything's down. Everything is miles down. Like, 10% is a huge drop-off. Like, I'm watching every game is getting scaled up in Supercoach, like hundreds of points, because there's nothing being scored during the game. Like, games aren't getting scaled back. So and the key forwards being suffered because the ball's just being chipped around the midfield in between the arcs. And the key forwards are obviously planted in the square. I'm really, really worried.
Yeah, it's worrying times, but once again, I think you've sort of said, you think it will sort of come good as the season goes on, or are you seriously concerned now that this is just now a trend?
Oh, I don't want to start a key forward. I started JJK and Tom McDonald this week, and I can't do it going forward. I think you just give up too much. I'm probably happier to start a forward who's going to score 80 points off the waiver wire and live with it. Like, what are you supposed to do? I don't know how you, unless you adapt with. Like, and we said this at the start. We said this going back a long time through the preseason. We're going to be wrong on a lot of things this year, and these rules are going to do things we don't expect. And this might be one of those things. Like, I expected scoring to go up, like a lot of people. Maybe that was foolish in hindsight. But maybe
I expected the key forwards to absolutely kill it this year.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think that's unwarranted. And you know, some are going to have good matches. Obviously, it's silly to say they won't. But the predictability of it and week to week and the top guys, maybe they're not the top guys anymore. But it's just, I'm really worried about taking it on going forward. And maybe the mid-forward guys who are going to give you, you know, a baseline of 65 and a ceiling, maybe they'll pop every now and again and give you 110, but maybe that's good because they're not going to drop you a 30 burger.
Mm. All right, well, let's get on to the next game. And, Jono, you checked out the Bulldogs-Blues game, but unfortunately you won't be putting your money on Sammy Welsh because you've already got it on Petrucelli for the Rising Star.
No, I like to hedge my bets, so that's fine. I'll go both ways and take what I can get. No, but as I said at the start of the show, hashtag Bevo out, because we didn't see Tom Liberatore at one centre bounce attendance for the first half of football. He is your number one clearance player and was not cited. They had blokes like some hack called Bailey Williams and a centre-half forward by the name of Billy Gowers taking centre-bounce attendances, who, last time I checked, were not your number one clearance player. And what did the Bulldogs get smashed in? Well, not only the scoreboard, but yes, that's right, clearances throughout the whole match. So, Bevo, get Libba back in the middle where he belongs in pumping out big scores for us, and Doggies having a chance to win. If you drafted SPS, that's Sam Petreski Seaton, He had a bit of a slow start, but he's really coming good, playing pure guts and really a good offsider for Paddy Cripps, because we know Paddy Cripps is the bull, but SPS and even Zach Fisher, they're the nuggety quick midfielders who are good through traffic. He had his best games, I thought. Sam Petrescu, Seaton for the year, over 30 possessions as well. Sam Walsh, as you said, Doss, he is your rising star. Going to be close with Petrocelli. Third ton in a row, 3 weeks in a row for a rookie. I don't think we've seen anything like this from a rookie in a very long time. Key forwards against the Dogs, because the defenders are absolutely horrible when you've got a key defender playing as a full forward. They're just going to kick the ball inside their full 50 quick, and blokes like Harry McKay, Levi Casbolt, and even Matty Cruz are just going to be taking mark after mark and kick bags of goals against the Western Bulldogs, and they're playing Freo this week, the Western Bulldogs. So if they're available on your waiver wire, look for Rory Lobb, Matty Tabner, and if he comes back in, Cam McCarthy, because they're just going to go batshit crazy against a shit Western Bulldogs.
And one thing I noticed from this game as well, Jono, which I mean, I don't necessarily, because it was a fairly high scoring game, I wouldn't put too much into it, but he's much more of a salary cap player. But if he does play through the midfield, obviously he's done it at VFL level, could Michael Gibbons become a player that we can now chuck, potentially pick up and play? Because when he's playing through the midfield, he popped 104 super coach and 93 in this one, and he actually was attending centre bounces now with Setterfield out. Potentially can hold that role if he shows something, or is that just more just rookie, you know, once-off sort of thing, and he'll be back to the 40s, do you think?
He'll be back to 40s. I think he was only there because Setterfield was out, and that was it, but that's all just salary cap, and you can't start Gibbons at the start.
Yeah.
If they actually go all right, because Setterfield misses another week, doesn't he?
Correct.
Yeah, well, if they go all right with him in there, well, I mean, that's got to be bad news for Setterfield, doesn't it?
I think it's still Setterfield's spot. I still think it's his.
What if he performs well this week?
Well, then, what's his name? Brendan Bolton's got a big call to make, doesn't he? But
no, I don't think it's a big call.
But are we starting Michael Gibbons or Will Setterfield in any of our teams at the moment?
No, but I mean, if you're in a keeper league, you might actually want to drop Will Setterfield for a person who might score fantasy points.
Yeah, well, I've got Michael Gibbons in our keeper league, so...
Is that good or is that... You're not, that's not know. A brag. Is that's not a chest bump, is it, surely?
Also, be. Gibbons very likely to get DPP next round, so we'll see how it goes.
Doesn't he already have it?
Does he? No, he's a mid. Know. Mid only in the true format AFL fantasy.
In what?
Quick, move on.
Well, Jason Johannesson, it's great to see him back at his best as well. He hasn't been this sort of great, I don't think. I think the new play style really
since the grand
him.
Final when he had that many turnovers. That's right.
That was a great match.
All right. Well, let's finally get to the Adelaide Gold Coast game. I'll probably do a few things I noticed, but Cam, what did you notice from watching it on telly?
So, Doss, you were at this game, and to quote you, you witnessed greatness. And that's right. You witnessed George Hall and Smith get his top score of the season with a blistering 68. But really, to me, the thing that stood out was Matt Crouch. You know, been a gun for a couple of years, pumped out a respectable 108 AFL Fantasy, 110 Super Coach. But what made me do a bit of a double take was his relative time on ground to the other cogs in the Adelaide midfield. He finished with 69% time on ground. Atkins, Sloan, Gibbs, Cam Ellis-Yeoman were all above 83%. His brother was 80%. Hell, even Hugh Greenwood had 74%. I don't think there's anything wrong with Matty, and it just goes to show you that on any week, and this goes back to, I guess, what Steve was saying earlier with Collingwood, you know, that could be Matty. That could be Brad. That could be Rory. That could be just about anyone.
No,
that's Matt. That's Matt.
I'm a Matt Crouch owner and been watching him. He gets low time on ground.
Last week he was like 85%.
That's year in, year out. Yeah, Brad Crouch got injured in that match, remember? And that's kind of Matt Crouch's MR.
Well, Dossie, what did you notice while you were at the game, mate? Fuck.
I noticed a couple of things. I think the first thing that I really did notice, just from a game perspective, I thought Hugh Greenwood actually... I don't think his Supercoach score probably did, but his fantasy score didn't reflect how much impact and how good he actually played. He was great in the game, and I think he'll just build on this performance after coming back, and I'd be pretty comfortable trying to pick him up. I know he is, unfortunately, mid-only. I think he might become a forward mid down the track with the amount of time he sort of spent up forward, but... You know, he had 15 contested possessions in only 74% game time, but his impact on the game was immense. And I genuinely think he's now going... They're going to use... With him in now as well, it was clear that Gibbs was playing a lot more defense. And I actually think Gibbs will now become... Maybe definitely not this DPP round, but probably the next DPP round. I think he's now going to become... Back to becoming a defender again. He spent a significant time there. He wasn't there the whole time. He was spending a bit of time on the wing, I think, as well. But Hugh Greenwood coming in the side, he's going to be a bit more inside mid and forward, and I think that just pushes Gibbs into the back line. Hopefully not the Samphill again for owners. But the other thing I really noticed, and I've been a sort of bit of a hater on this guy in the past in terms of just his body has just been a potato for keeping on the field, but Pierce Hanley looked the greatest I have seen him in a long time, and he has been building a little bit towards this. He just looked great moving off the back line, and you know, he popped 111 and 100, and it'll be great for people that have him already. And I think this could be something we see a little bit more of, Pierce Hanley sort of back to his best. And the other thing quickly, it was good to see Gold Coast. I think, Steve, you sort of put out there before this week that it might be a good time to sort of sell Gold Coast players because they have done really well, and it's like, oh, gee, they're coming up against some decent opposition coming up. But it was good to see they had five players score big tons. Like, we had 101 from Bowes, but 111 from Took, 111 Hanley, 123 Witts, and 126, and that's just the fantasy scores there. But it was good to see that they still managed to score well despite getting spanked. So I'm hoping that that going forward is okay. I know Adelaide tend to give up a bit, so that's just something I noticed, and hopefully something going forward we can still see the Suns score okay even when they do come and now possibly get a bit more spankings in the coming weeks, basically.
Well, seeing as you were the man on the ground there and Miller out 4-6 with an AC joint, I thought David McKay got the bump there when he went off. Was I just seeing things, or do you think he will be the one to fill that void going forward?
Well, yeah, to be honest, I think you guys messaged me. I didn't see at the ground, I didn't see what happened with Miller, and I actually didn't even see him come off the interchange, but maybe that is when actually Gibbs moved down back. And
he started back the whole game.
He did? Okay. Yep. Well, yeah, I saw McKay do a bit. I wouldn't get too excited about David McKay, though. I mean, there was a bit of some Gallucci, I think, in the Sandfall. I don't think McKay's going to get a big bump. Cam, what do you reckon?
Oh, no, I think you're right. McKay will probably take that role. He's done it before, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to score well, because he's done it before and hasn't scored well before as well. I just want to maybe, you know, defend the Matt Crouch thing a little bit. His lowest time on ground before this game this year is 77%, and everything else is over 81%. So, like, 69 is a little different, right?
He was fine.
Well, like, I mean, like, last week, you had two guys get injured. Like, I know what you're saying. Like, 69 is really low. But,
yep.
You know, swings and roundabouts.
Which is the... Yep, go on.
What do you mean? Well, I mean, he's a low 70s time on ground player. Like, that's his MO. So...
I just think the swings and roundabouts, I think, is accurate. Like, it could be... Any
it's
of
it's not going to be Sloan.
Those.
No.
Okay.
Well, it might be Brad Crouch, yeah. Fine. It might be Bryce Gibbs. That's and actually, we've seen it be Bryce Gibbs throughout this season. And to be honest, the addition of Cam Ellis-Yolman, fuck, I hate Cam Ellis-Yolman. I wish he would just piss off. Like, these guys, just they suck up that inside midfield time. And, you know, that's my concern with guys like Matt Crouch. Especially when you bring in another jobber like Hugh Greenwood, who, like, the guy cannot win an uncontested ball to save his life. Like, just can't do it. What's he had today? He had 18 disposals, 15 contested possessions. Hello, what? People think I'm joking. I'm not doing a bit. This isn't a bit. This is... No.
Oh, this isn't a bit?
I hate you, Adelaide.
Woofed. Shout out to the Adelaide listeners.
Hey, well, they look, they've denied my, well, my Gold Coast Suns either second or top spot on the ladder, so I've got to be salty.
With the Hawks Geelong game still to play on Monday, that's it for the Round 5 review. Still to come, we have our waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and a captain risky for Round 6. First, though, Cam, we are getting closer to the 200 ratings we need to get you on the live stream doing the Smirnoff Ice Shoey with the listeners, getting well and truly behind the hashtag 200 despite Cam.
Yeah, so the first review we've got this week from LJ Mastro 5. Questionable name. Wonderful as a title. That's great. Thank you. Great show. Wonderful content. Can you tell my league mate Pooks of the Grey Goose to stop listening? He keeps stealing my free agents. Thanks. I don't know. Does anyone want to tell him to stop listening?
Yeah, Pooks, stop listening. Unless you leave a review.
Yeah, Pooks. Pick up the slack, will you? Oh.
Why don't you just wait for waiver wire pickups, and if you're higher up, just take what you need and go from there.
Yeah, like get worse and be worse on the ladder and get a waiver wire pickup. That's how it comes. So the second review, good, better, best from Hopeless Supercoach Coach. Look forward to it every Monday, boys. Love your work. Constructive criticism time. The two times Steve Fizz has missed this show this season, it has basically been a UF/DT pod. Sorry, not sorry, Jono. Lack of Supercoach content leaves an unsatisfying taste in my mouth.
Like semen.
And here I was thinking I was the Supercoach guy. And I don't know what the water tastes like in Ararat, Steve, but I hope it's not like that.
Semen?
Mm.
I don't know. Can't be good. Doss is smiling like he knows. It's a knowing smile.
Well, it's good to see that you've been just sucking up to the listeners all this time, Steve, as well, trying to get them back on your side. But it sounds like they're already on your side, mate. You don't need
to
rub it in.
I've tried to right a lot of wrongs tonight. I'm doing the people's work. That's all I'm going to say.
I've never seen such puckered lips, to be honest.
I know what things taste like.
There's a lot of...
Let's keep going. Waivers.
All right. On to our waiver wire pickups using the rule of under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. And a reminder for all those shallower leagues, there are probably better options out there. And always remember to keep checking who people are dropping every week. Jono, who are your waiver pickups for this week?
Going to kick it off with Ollie Florent from the Sydney Swans, 53% ownership. His time on ground is bumped up massively the last couple of weeks. He's now around the 84 to 85% time on ground for Ollie Florent, and that shows in the scores. Scores have improved since he's played more time on ground. Maybe Horse is changing the guard a little bit and giving these youngsters the time they deserve in the midfield. I'm not sure if it's Statesman's boy or Doss's boy, but Jordan Dawson, is it?
It's my boy. 30s. Fuck you.
Whose boy is it? I don't know. Someone, but not mine. But he's been putting it together for the last couple of weeks. 37% ownership. He's got a pretty fantasy-friendly role there. Dawson does. One guy who I actually thought was a stream this week, and that was Mitch Brown from Essendon, 48% ownership. Scored in the 90s in both formats this week against North Melbourne. They're playing the Pies, and if Essendon have their quick transition game and get that ball inside 50, he's going to get a look at it again. And look, we don't know what forwards are going to do week to week. And I thought, well, I didn't know Joe Danaher was going to be a late in. I actually had him in the late week pickups, but actually still scored pretty well with Danaher and the team. So the two can play well together. So I'll be looking to pick him up because he's averaging quite well in both formats. We spoke about him at the top of the show, Josh Walker. He's in 40% of teams. If Harris Andrews is going to miss some time, I'll be looking to grab him because he did get a bump last year when Andrews missed. And for a super coach pickup, I don't know what he's owned in Supercoach, but in Ultimate Footy, he's 52% ownership. That's Adam Saad. He's been doing quite well in Supercoach, averaging around the 80 mark. And my new boy, Doss, you can get fucked because I'm going to claim him. That's Alex Keith, 62% ownership. 74 average in AFL Fantasy and 80 in Supercoach, and another nice game today. So Alex Keith, former cricketer, now fantasy relevant stud.
Yeah, you can have him. Cam, who's your waiver wire pickups?
I think he scored better than Bailey Williams though, so you know, point Jono. But so for me, I actually just had Dawson, Florent and Keith as well. So Dawson, slight chance DPP defender. Florent,
One more. Jackson Trengo for the Bulldogs as well. Must play this week.
While you're there, you may as well Trengrove double up and get Jack Trengrove, because they're two players probably still going to be playing VFL and Sandful.
Honestly, this is the waiver section. Are you actually wavering for Jack Trengove or Jackson Trengove? Like, fair dinkum.
Jackson, I would, because he can actually score, because like, he's got a pretty fantasy-relevant role. But...
No. But he didn't even play. Like, are you actually wavering for him? Like, if you've got number one priority, like, come on. You cannot waver for Jackson Trengove. You have to wait till he slips through for free agents, surely.
Depending on what your defence is like. Oh. I wavered for Alex Keith last week. Because
yeah,
I
and that's him. Fine. Like, I'm just, if you want, but, I mean, like, look at Josh Walker. Would you waver for Josh Walker?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, and that's fine because he's actually in the team and scoring okay. But come on, you can't waver for a guy who's not in the team.
Oh, Jackson Trengo's got to play. Got to play. Otherwise,
he said that last. Well, he said that 2 weeks ago.
Well, I thought he was going to play. But I'm not Luke Beveridge, and I'm not a crazy fucking idiot, am I?
Well, that's the problem. You got to start thinking like a crazy.
I do.
Idiot.
But yeah, Jordan Dawson, I think, as you mentioned, Jono, chance DPP defender. Ollie Florent, chance DPP forward, but very slim. And Alex Keith, I think he's just fitting into that Tom Duday role really well. They're my three too. Steve?
Yeah, I've got Mitch Brown and Ollie Florent and Josh Walker with you boys. I will throw out three other names. Jed Godison. 58% owned. That's Jed Anderson, just for people who don't know who that is, just looking after the loot, new listeners. Yet again, as is my MO.
Oh, yeah, I know. This is the first time he's done this. All the new listeners, if they want to know, this is actually the first time he's actually given the courtesy, so just to let you guys know.
I think this is the nicest Steve's ever been on this whole entire time we've ever done this show.
He scored well last week, and he scored well this week. Scored, 87 fantasy and 80 Supercoach in only 66% time on ground. So building along nicely. If he can get a bit more TOG, he might be a very nice pickup.
Why is the TOG? Like, it was the same last year, and is it ever going to go up? I know he's back from, you know, was he back from injury this year? But is it ever going to actually go up, or is that just the amount of time he can actually handle in a game?
Well, I think he can handle more. It's just the question of the way North Melbourne rotate their mids. You quite often see a number of their mids rotate with really low time on ground. We've even seen it from Ben Cunnington in the past, except he's taken a little bit of a bump up in the last 2 years. But again, you see LDU, Paul Ahern, these guys really get pretty low time on ground. Look, he puts it together. Can he get better? I would hope so. But I think it might just be the way North roll, unfortunately. But again, I'm still taking the chance if I've got a bench spot and I need a midfield spot to fill it. I think he's one who can get it. Like 10 tackles on a weekend. Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good player, and I know he's not a forward anymore, but I still think he's worthwhile as a stash. Tommy Cutler, only 49% owned. I think with the injuries down at Brisbane and maybe the form over the last couple of weeks, he might be someone who cracks a look. Probably not wavering for him, as he's only in mid this year. And my boy...
But how can you waver for someone who's not in the team?
Yeah. Oh, I was waiting.
Well, I prefaced it by saying I wouldn't waver for him.
I didn't hear that.
You hear what you want to hear. And my boy, Mason Redmond.
I do.
40% owned.
Oh, get out.
Is that his name, Mason Redmond? He's my boy. 40% correct. And I will say, I just want to say to people, I would check around for Liam Shields. He's been injured last month, but he should be back in the next week or two, slipping into that Hawthorn midfield. And I think he's a pretty handy pickup.
All right, awesome. That's all the waivers. Now, on to a little segment I like to call... Yeah, I've been trying out a new segment. I tried to step on Jono's toes last week with a bit of a sort of waiver wire pickup segment myself, but on a late week pickup show, sorry. But Dossie's Dilemmas. So this is just checking in with a few players having stinker early seasons and whether or not you should be very concerned as an owner or, you know, looking to buy low, or whether you think they are actually cooked for season 2019 from a fantasy perspective. So on the numbers here, I have focused on AFL Fantasy. Sorry to the listeners about the Supercoach. You guys can take it from there if you've got the numbers, but I'll kick it off. I've only got a few players here, so I just want your perspective. I might go start with Cam, go Steve, then Jono, but if anyone's got a strong take, just jump in. So Tom McDonald, average of 51 this year, 77 is his high score for the season in fantasy. Jesse Hogan obviously gone there, Cam, but you must be very concerned if you're a Tom McDonald owner.
Oh, you'd be super concerned, but then I had him super low in my rankings at the start of the year for the exact reason that he had Jesse Hogan as the decoy last year, and so he was getting a lot of... he wasn't getting the top-tier defenders marking him. This year he is, you know, he looks well out of place as the key forward, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him shift back in the next couple of weeks. That being said, maybe it's worth a hold and maybe he can score okay as a defender.
Okay, next one. Lance Franklin, an average of 69, struggling a little bit more with the crummy Sydney midfield. Are we past the days of big Franklin scores, but are you just holding for those occasional potential 80s? We said today, on the weekend, he kicked four goals and just cracked the 80. What do you think there, Steve?
Donald, I'm selling. I've had enough. You might be able to get some for Buddy. That's the thing. Sydney is shit. Like, let's get past it. Wow. Sydney are pretty bad.
Yeah. So I think we predicted that'd be out of the eight. So Franklin, you'd be selling as a forward in a struggling team, essentially. All right. So the Hoff, 72 average, way down on last year. I think probably maybe more so than even we projected. All right. What do you think on the Hoff, Jono?
Oh, it's a great buy low candidate because once we see Charlie Dixon come back, if he comes back, then that should free up the West Hoff. And come on, Ryder's got to do some sort of soft tissue injury at some stage. And hello, Lysette and West Hoff show just running around doing whatever the hell they like. But no, great buy low candidate. And he's actually someone I'm going to try and get my fingers into
what?
This week if I can in our home league, West Hoff. Yes, I like West Hoff.
Yeah. Are we still really freezing?
Well, you know, one of the pink. What is it? Well, he's on a female side.
I agree. I would try to trade just. Oh, we'll move on. Jeez, the digital penetration's taking a little bit too far.
That's how it works in my team. Just... Damn.
Oh, yeah. All right, Steph Martin, 72.6 average, playing with the Big O this year. Not putting up his own big numbers either, getting a bit older. Is he done as a premium scorer, Cam?
Yeah, I think he can still have the odd good game, and he's still really good at nullifying opposition rucks. So we saw that with, I think it was Grundy this week. Grundy, you know, wasn't able to get his 130. But that being said, he's a little bit slower, he's a little bit older. I don't think you'd be able to trade him. You'd probably suck with him for the rest of the year.
I got a hot take. I think he's a good buy low candidate.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah. So.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, like, look at it. I know he's in the split role and everything, and that's fine, but he's come up against the best ruckman in the league. There's no shame in throwing a bad score out every now and again. He still has the Bulldogs twice on deck, which is essentially a guaranteed ton. He's played a game in the sopping wet where they gave him no game time. Look at the other matches. He's come up against reasonably good ruck divisions. Like, you'd have to say Goldstein's a premier ruck in the league. Port Adelaide have got the split system as well. Like, I know it hasn't gone his way, but I'm still okay with Steph Martin. Like, the thing's really that bad. Like, he's not getting the transition ball. I think he's a prime candidate to buy low. Like, I know he's got, what, Gold Coast next week, so that's fine. He'll lose the hit-outs there. But then Sydney, he can beat Callum Sinclair easy. Then the Bulldogs, he'll beat Tim English. Then Adelaide, so he'll beat Riley O'Brien. Then Fremantle, he'll, like, if it's Rory Lobb, he'll beat Rory Lobb. And if it's Sean Darcy, he'll smash him around the ground. Like, I think there's reason for optimism around Steph Martin.
I think the dual ruck thing is an issue, though. The fact you're saying they will smash those guys, but he will for half a game.
No, and that's fine. He'll beat them, but I don't think it's the be all and end all. I know it's a concern, but I think, you know, if Brisbane are any good, they should wax a couple of those teams, and he might get on the end of one.
Yeah.
You're buying low. I mean, you're buying pretty damn low.
Yeah, and it's a good point. The concern for me is against Essendon, right? So he's still got 29 hit-outs, and he managed 82 AFL fantasy points. I just think that's against a probably lower-tier ruck department, and that was the best he could put out.
Well, I think Tom Bellchamber is actually a pretty good ruckman, like, in terms of tap rucks. And you still beat him? Like,
it's... Nah, yeah. Belcho, yeah, 16 for the game.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I mean. Sorry, like, like, he's got more. What do you want? Like, Essendon had over 100 marks. Like, I know the game's not suiting Ruckman for AFL fantasy purposes. Like, if you don't have, what, Grundy, Gorn, or Witts, what, you just dead and buried? Is that where you sit? Like, I think it's throwing in the towel a little bit too much. I think you'll get Steph Martin so cheap. And for Supercoach, he hasn't gone under 100, has he? Or under 80, I mean. Sorry, he went 63 this week. So, I mean, like, it's a good buy low.
Yep. All right, well, that is... You can see the conversation that's just been spawned from this Dossie's Dilemmas. It's really, really fascinating stuff. Elliot Yeo, quickly, two more. Elliot Yeo, 82.8.
No. At the time of the beep, it will be midnight here in Victoria, so... Beep.
Yeah, we have to...
Did you know they're getting rid of that?
Hey?
The clock. The calling of the clock. It's gone.
No,
anyway, sorry,
up.
Let's go on. My bad.
Yeah, your segment has taken up too much time.
You're buying low, Steve.
Elliot Yeo, yeah, I'm buying low.
Jared Lyons.
No, I'm dropping him.
Dump.
Waiver.
All right, on to our trade of the week, Steve.
Elliot Yeo, go buy him.
Captain Risky this week, Cam.
Christian Salem.
Matt Taberner.
That is risky.
Yeah, it's super risky. And so I've got some analysis, boys. I'll go through it as fast as I possibly can because DOS took up 3 hours. The Tigers give away more disposals, including highest marks kicks in the league than any other team in the comp due to their lack of pressure acts. They're 13th in the comp. This plays right into the hands of someone like Salem, who is fast becoming a junk master this year. He's always looking for those really close kick possessions, which is the exact type of gameplay the Tigers are allowing at the moment, hence the stats. Add to this, the rebounding defenders have had an absolute field day against the Tigers and this year, and you have a compelling narrative for a 115-ish plus.
Alrighty, sweet. If you want more captains, check out the Draft Doctors website. You can find the Statesman Skipper article up there, released every week. You can also find Cam's injury report, the A Dozen Deals article by Sam Porter, and of course, Jono's late week pickups. Check out the website for that. Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. Follow us on Twitter at the Draft Doctors, and check out the website for all those awesome articles. Make sure we keep getting those ratings and reviews in. Coming in on iTunes, we got to get hashtag 200 despite Cam, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.